and drive down there and drive back Thursday night after the service. And that's about a 3.5 hour drive. And Brother Smith said he would, but he's got to take a test for a job. But now he said he may get be able to change it, the date and the time of it. I'm not sure. And if he can, he'd be glad to go with me. But if some of you other fellows want to go, well, we'll drive down there and back and spend a day together and have a good time of fellowship and get some preaching at the same time. I'd love for you to ride down there and back with me if you can, and we'll try to have a good time. So see me if you can go. See me after the service, and we'll try to make some plans, some meeting time and departure time. All right, let's turn again tonight to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. We're plowing right on through this book, and with God's help, within a few days, we're going to be through it. A few weeks or something, and when you find your place in chapter 8, well, let's stand together. Solomon, chapter number 8, and verse number 6 again tonight. And I just want to take a thought from that verse and preach on a word that's in it a little while, if God will help me. He said, "Set me as the seal upon thine heart." I believe that's the Lord Jesus speaking to us. And that's wise instruction, to set Him on the throne of our heart as a seal to protect us from harm and evil. He said, "And as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. You set me there because of the strength of love and because of the jealousy or the cruel. What's the past tense for cruel? Anybody know, any of you English scholars? Cruelty? Is that right? Of the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame." Somebody said I was saying heat all day long Sunday in both services. I want to get that right. They asked me if I was preaching out of a NIV. I got a King James, 1611. I'm just using the wrong word there. But let's bow to pray. And we'll try to bring the thought for a little while God's laid on our heart. Our Father, we do thank You, Lord, for the privilege together the first day of the new year. Not a better way to start our new year than in the house of God. I thank You for the glorious privilege that we have to be here. Father, I realize that all will be vanity except the Holy Spirit of God would blow through this place and magnify, reveal the Lord Jesus, open our eyes to the truth of Him and His grace and love for our lives. I pray that You'll help me tonight as I preach. I need some physical strength, and Lord, I need that spiritual unction that can only come from You. I pray for liberty. Help my mind to think clearly, my heart to be right. Help me to say all things the Spirit of God have me to say, and seal my lips, and God forbid that I should say anything outside Your will. I pray that You'll warm our hearts and move our souls for Thee and give us grace. May sinners be saved, revival fires burn, and Your people find help in the Lord tonight. And we'll thank You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to try to preach a little while tonight, if God will help me out of the thought that's in verse number 6, on the fact that love is strong as death. And I'm not, you know, I mentioned that some weeks ago in one of the messages, and I gave the illustration the best that I knew how of what I believe that means, how that love is strong as death. But tonight I want to look at that word love, if God would be my helper, and try to speak to you just for a little while on the thought, the splendor of love. Love is a marvelous thing. It's a very wonderful thing. The Bible said that it is strong as death.
Amen.
And, you know, that takes in a great deal. The Bible said death is passed upon all men.
Amen.
And the fact that love is strong as death tells me that it is a marvelous thing with a lot of power and a lot of strength. And there's nothing in this world like love.
Amen.
I'll be quite honest. I don't think there is a mortal tongue that can adequately describe the word love. And in fact, and what it means. We talk about men and women falling in love. And I guess they do. I don't know how that takes place, but it does. I can't explain to you why I love my wife, except she's gorgeous and beautiful and lovely and charming. And all of that, I can't explain why I love her. I just love her. From the first day that I laid eyes on her, I loved her. And you can't explain that. And neither can you and I explain why God loves us. The Bible simply says that God loves us. He loved us just simply because He loved us. And there's nothing in us that deserves His love. There's nothing in us that demands God's love. He just loves us simply because He loves us. And so I want to preach on the splendor of love. The word splendor means great brightness or brilliant luster, as the splendor of the sun. It means a great show of richness, elegance, and magnificence.
Amen.
And I'd have to say that when Christ died on Calvary, a display of God's love, that it was a show of the riches of His grace, His magnificent glory, and His wonderful love that He had for you and I that were lost and on our way to a devil's hell without God and without any hope. Oh, for the riches of the grace of Almighty God. What splendor, what love, what glory that Christ would love sinners like you and I. Friend, I tell you, I have never gotten over it. I think that's one of the biggest deals in our churches, is that we've gotten over the fact that Christ loves sinners. And not only loved us, but loved enough to die, not just to die, but the death of the cross that we might live. And in doing that, He plucked our soul out of the fire, lifted us from that low life of sin and sorrow, set us at His own right hand in heavenly places, and made us a child of Almighty God. I tell you, friend, that does something for me. And I really believe that we've forgotten in our churches really what God has done for us, and the magnificence or the splendor of the love that He bestows upon His children. Oh, what love. It means the eminence as the splendor of victory. And I'd have to say amen to that.
Amen.
Oh, the splendor of victory. There is victory tonight in the Lord. Amen. That is a fact. Oh, what victory.
Amen.
You and I were living a life that was defeated, friend.
Amen.
We were slaves to the devil and slaves to sin. But in the splendor of God's love, He lifted us out of death and depravity, birthed us into the family of God, and helped us to walk in total victory for the glory of God.
Amen.
There ain't too many Baptists got a whole lot of victory tonight either.
Amen.
Have you anybody in here ever tasted victory? It's good, ain't it? How about secular victory? Some of you fellas used to play ball, and wasn't it good when you knew that you'd won the game? Well, I'm telling you, friend, it is better than that to know that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Buddy, we've got to. We're not waiting to get the victory. We already have the victory won tonight. That's right. And I think that this defines real well the love that Christ has for His people.
Amen.
It's love for, or His love for us is truly, the Bible says, a splendid thing.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus was asked by the lawyers in Matthew chapter 22, he said, that lawyer said, what is the great commandment? And Jesus said this. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now I tell you, friend, that His love is so splendid that it commands you and I to love Him in return. Did you get a hold of that? It's not a take-maybe thing in this thing called salvation. It's not the fact that God loves us and we can love Him whether we want to or not. That, hey, it is commanded us. That is God's commandment, that we love Him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, is what the Bible says. In other words, His love toward you and I demands that we return that love back to Him. I tell you, there wouldn't be many marriages lasting long, and by the way, most of them don't. If we didn't love one another. Love is not a one-sided thing. God loves us. God commended His love toward us while we're sinners. But also, we are commanded to love Him not half-heartedly, not with some crippled kind of a love, but we're to love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. And friend, I'm telling you what that tells me is that there is room in our life for none other. We have been espoused to Him as a chaste virgin. We belong to Him, nobody else. Not even the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, and he makes it plain, the love of the Father is not in him, friend. Amen. We've hobnobbed around and played with that verse and tried to give people a little bit of a leeway, you know, in their life. But I'm telling you, God cuts her off and says, if there's love in your heart for the world, then there is no love there for me. You know God's a jealous God. That's what He said. Love is strong as death and jealousy cruel as a grave. Our God is a jealous God, friend, and He will share your love with nobody else. I don't know too many men live with a woman that loved two men. I wouldn't live with Mrs. Hall if she had another man on the string. She wouldn't live with me if I had another woman on the string. I love her and she loves me. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. Woo! Hallelujah to God. In John 21, when old Peter and his disciples were backslidden, they went back to fishing rather than preaching the Word of God. He said, follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. And rather than being fishers of men, old Peter led that bunch of disciples out into the sea, my friend, to try to catch a few more fish. And when Christ appeared to them on dry land and called them in and led Peter aside and said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? My God, don't you love me any more than this, Peter? I have got such a marvelous, splendid love for you that I died on Calvary in your place. Can you not return that love just a little to me, Peter? Oh, the splendor of love. Love is strong as death. For jealousy is cruel as the grave. God said, I'm a jealous God. I love you and therefore I demand that you love me in return. Amen. Amen. That's right. That is right. He is a jealous God. Now I want to say that He's easily grieved in spirit over our disappointments. You realize that He is disappointed in us when we neglect Him? When we fail to return that love, He is very disappointed and grieved. I wonder if that is not what's wrong in the house of God right now. I wonder if the Holy Ghost, or if He is grieved, the only problem remains is to settle is why is God grieved like He is at the church?
Amen.
That's the only thing we got, that's the only problem we got to solve. And it might just be that our hearts have been turned from Him to another.
Amen.
It might just be we're more involved in something else than we are in God. It might be that our affections are on somebody or somewhere or something more than what they are on God.
Amen.
And He's grieved. He's grieved.
Amen.
Huh? Come on in the house, children. The splendor of love. Love is strong as death.
Amen.
What great love. Love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. Amen. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement heat. I don't know what he's referring to there as the coals of fire having a vehement heat. If he's talking about the love, or he's talking about jealousy, it may be he's talking about both of them. That the coals of the fire of love, there's a hot love that he wants. But also the coals of fire of jealousy is a very hot jealousy that God has in His soul for you and I.
Amen.
Jealous God. Now I want to ask you tonight, what makes God's love so splendid? What makes His love so splendid? The splendor of love. He said love is as strong as death. Jealousy as cruel as a grave. What makes it as marvelous as it really is? I've only got 3 points. I want to say, first of all, because His love has conquered our sin.
Amen.
My God, can you get a hold of that tonight? God loved the world and sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm telling you that His love, my friend, that was set upon you and I, has conquered the sin problem that we have. Somebody said, oh, it ain't a big thing. It's not. My Bible said the wages of sin is death. Sin was dragging us down the corners of death into the chambers of hell. And God loved us with such a love that He sent His Son into the world and conquered our sin that He might turn us around and point us to glory where we might have eternal and everlasting life. Bless His wonderful name. I'm telling you, it was love. It wasn't the wrath of God. Somebody said, oh, I saw the flames of hell and got scared and repented and got saved. You're still lost.
Amen.
Great. Great.
Yes,
son, it's not. People don't get afraid of hell and get saved. He's not a fire escape.
Right.
Sinners are saved when they see the splendor of His love.
Amen.
The just dying for the unjust. The holy for the unholy. The righteous for the unrighteous. It was the love, the fact that Christ would suffer such a death on the cross for you and I. That, my friend, is what turns us from our sin to Him. You better believe that's right. Somebody said, you have a verse for it? Yes. I would. You don't think I'm so stupid, son, and preach something I ain't got a scripture for, do you? What are you going to do with Romans 2:4? Or Paul said, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and the forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God,
Amen.
That the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance.
Amen.
Son, it wasn't the fact that I was dying and going to hell. Sinners are not afraid of hell. They tell people every day at the workplace to go there. They're not afraid of hell. Unless false man is not afraid of hell, are you hearing me, son? And it's not necessarily hell in itself that causes us to repent, but it's the goodness of God, knowing that on the cross, Christ suffered our hell on the cross and rose from it that we might be justified in the sight of God. Amen. That love that He delivered my soul from hell.
Amen.
Not just delivered it, but suffered my hell. Son, in 6 hours on the cross, He suffered as no other man hath. Oh yes, He suffered in 6 hours enough hell for every sinner that has ever been born on the face of God's planet Earth. Somebody said, well, how can He do that? He was God. Holy and righteous. The only thing that would satisfy His wrath was, my friend, the holy sacrifice. You and I couldn't hardly do that ourselves. But God, in the goodness of God, led me to repentance. Now, how did He conquer our sin? Number one, by turning us from it. I don't care what Jack Howell said and all this easy crowd. Son, if you don't turn from your sin, you'll split hell wide open. You can tell Him I said so. God doesn't save us in our sin. God saves us from our sin. He don't save you and let you wallow around in the same old slime pit you always roll in. No, sir. He'll bring you out of that. Turn you. Amen. Oh, brother Paul, on the road to Damascus, got saved.
Amen.
And in Acts 26, he was testifying about what God done for him, brother Mark, on that day.
Amen.
And here's what he said. Said that Jesus spoke to him and said, but arise, stand up on thine feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things into which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Amen.
He said, I have saved you, Paul, to preach the Word of God, that in preaching that you might open the eyes of the Gentiles, that it might turn them. Turn them. That repentance, son, that it might turn them from the power of darkness and from the power of Satan unto light and unto God. No wonder He says, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill, to thy tabernacle. I'm telling you. Somebody said, preacher, what are you trying to do tonight? Send out light and send out truth. That out yonder somewhere in the darkness, in this building, some sinner might find their way to Calvary and come to know God.
Amen.
I'm a serious preacher. I'm not some Johnny-come-lately egg-sucking moron in some of these churches that don't give a ragtag flip about nothing but a paycheck. I'm interested in keeping souls out of hell, friend. These people in here tonight that's still in darkness.
Amen.
Still under the power of Satan. Now I'm telling you, His love is so splendid because it turns us. It turns us from that power that Satan has over us.
Amen.
Oh yeah, and from the darkness that's settled in over our soul, that we might live in light and walk in light as God is in light, and walk with the power of God leading us.
Yeah.
Right, ain't I?
Yes,
I believe I am. Turn them. Oh, the splendor of His love.
Amen.
Conquered my sin.
Amen.
By turning us. He conquered our sin by turning us from that sin. I won't say He conquered our sin by touching us.
Amen.
Woo! Have you been touched lately? Thank God. I'm not talking about being touched too high for crutches either. I'm talking about being touched in such a way that the cripple can throw away their crutches, son, and walk with God.
Amen.
Amen to God. That is right. That little old widow in Nain, all she had was one little old boy. And the Bible said that that little old son died. And they was leading him off, had him in a coffin, leading him off to bury him. It said in Luke 7:13-15, Bible said, and when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her.
Amen.
And said unto her, weep not. And He came and touched the bier.
Amen.
Just touched the bier. Now get this now, and I'm fixing to go back to something. And they that bare Him stood still. Boy, I'm telling you, I've preached through that a lot of times and plowed through it, but I never seen what I've seen now. I'm going to get it in just a minute. But He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Get this. And he that was dead, son, he that was dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, yes, that's the power of death in a sinner. He that was dead, the Bible said, at the touch of the hand of the Lord, sit up.
Amen.
And begin to speak. And they took him and gave him to his mother.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you, here's the thought I want you to see. They that bear him stood still.
Amen.
You know who was carrying that dead boy? He didn't have 6 pallbearers like Sister Cornelia had yesterday. He only had 4. Sin, Satan, death, and hell. But when God Almighty, son, touched that bar, the pallbearers froze where they were and stood still in their flesh. That simply says that hell and death and sin and Satan lost their power over that young man. And he set up, hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Praise God. You know what that word stood still means? I'm fixing to show you what it don't mean. It don't mean run. It literally means to shut down. Death, hell, sin, and Satan, when Jesus touched that bier, they just shut down. Just like turning off the engine of an automobile. Oh, the splendor of His love. No wonder He said love is strong as death. He turned the motor off, son, on sin and the devil, hell and the grave. They're not running no more. Old David said, told Jonathan, said, there's just one step between me and death.
Amen.
That one step's good enough. You know why? Because death's motor quit running. Woo! One step's a long way, son, when death can't step anymore.
Amen.
We're a step ahead of hell. Step ahead of the devil. A step ahead of sin. Their powers are broken. Turn from the power of sin and Satan unto the power of God. Oh, the splendor of His love. Love is strong as death. Hallelujah. I feel like running some of you dinner 4:00 in the morning, but I'm about to get happy in God. I'm glad, thank God, because He's a living. I'm going to live also. Praise His name. Amen.
Amen.
He not only conquered our sin by turning us and touching us, but He conquered our sin by taming us.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Somebody said, I'm pretty wild, honey. You ain't never been set on by God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, God's a pretty big God, and He sets down on you. We had that little old horse named Rex, little old horse we bought out in Oklahoma, one of them little Mustangs, old red horse. And son, he was not one Rex, we called him Satan. Rex was another little horse. Mean. Johnny was mean. We ran on, and Lloyd got him from Burt Jones. He is as mean as anything I'd ever seen in my life. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, hey, he'd kick up them heels. You try to touch him, he'd just kick, buck, jump, carry on something terrible. I'm going to tell you, my brother said, I got an idea. They bought a big lariat, big lasso lariat, and put it on his neck and tied the thing to a thing in the barn.
walked in there and laid their hand on him, and he done just what he always done, went to bucking and kicking and run out the door. But I'm going to tell you what, son, when he come to the end of his rope and seen he couldn't go any further, he stopped, brought him back on the inside, done the same thing, and out the door he went. When he come to the end of the rope a second time, he stopped so he couldn't go no further. Guess what? On the third time, he realized he is at the end of his rope and couldn't go any further. And said, there'll come a time in a sinner's life when they realize they're at the end of their rope and can't go any further. And God will tame you and call you to stand still in the barn, son. Amen. That maniac of Gadara, the Bible said it, had a dwelling place in the tombs. No man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him. The fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. But I'm going to tell you, he looked and saw Jesus. I believe he was standing there in Gadara looking out over Gennesaret. And he saw that tempestuous wind come up, and all at once it just silenced. And that maniac probably thought, now who done that? Who in the world's got the power? I'm talking about when them disciples was crossing that sea and Jesus said, peace be still. I'm not talking about it calmed down little at a time. When he said, peace be still, neighbor, the waves ceased to bolster up and the winds stopped blowing. And there was a great calm. And I believe that maniac was standing on the shore, looking out across that sea, and he thought, my, who in the world is that man walking on the water? And so when Jesus unloaded off of that boat, the Bible said that maniac run down to him and fell down and said, have you come to torment me before my time? Don't cast me out into the deep before my time. I'm telling you, there was a man that cut himself, lived in the tombs, was a wild man, but son, one encounter with the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah to God. One encounter with the Lord Jesus. And the city folk came out and found him sitting at the feet of Jesus. Guess what? He had done put on some clothes and was in his right mind. Hallelujah to God. Well, I recognize you. Well, amazing grace. Won't you take your clothes off like you used to? Well, I've got some old scars. Boy, God just give me something.
Amen.
I've got some scars under there where I used to cut myself with stones here in the tombs, and I was a wild man. I've got scars all over my body. I've got these clothes on now. I don't want nobody to see my scars. I'm glad, thank God, Miss Penny, I got on a robe of righteousness that's covered up all the scars of sin, a son that nobody can uncover, because I'm wrapped and clothed in Him. I don't want nobody to see them. I'm clothed and in my right mind. Got on a shirt and a pair of pants. Son, got clothed this old naked body. But I'm going to tell you, greater than that, I've been clothed in my soul. Hallelujah. Oh, what love. Love as strong as death. Jealousy cruel as the grave. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to say secondly, not only because He conquered my sin, it's His love splendid, but because He covered my sin.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes,
help me, Miss Sue, will you? I need some help tonight. This crowd of men is as dead as 4 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
I'm going to encourage some of you women to shout a little bit. Praise God, I'm telling you, I'm glad they're covered. Get this now. Solomon said in Proverbs 10:12, hatred stirreth up stripes, but love
But love covereth a double all sins. For God so loved, son, and that love covered all sins. I'm about to get wild.
Hallelujah.
You realize that in Genesis 6, when God told Noah to build that ark, the Bible said he pitched it within and without.
Amen.
With pitch.
Right.
You do realize who was in that ark, don't you? Noah and all the families that were saved during the flood. Do you know what that word pitch means? It's about the same word that covereth is in Proverbs. You look up that word pitch and it means to cover.
Amen.
He covered them with pitch.
Amen.
He covered their sin.
Amen.
That second word pitch is where we get our word atonement. He covered them with the atonement. Oh, praise God. You can sit like a knot on low if you want to, buddy. But I'm here to tell you, praise God. Help me out, bud. He covered our sin with the atoning work of God. They're gone.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody said, how did he cover it? I'm glad you asked. By passing over us.
Amen.
He said in Exodus 12:12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night.
Amen.
And I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord.
Amen.
And the blood shall be for you, to you, for a token upon your houses where you are.
Amen.
Let me ask you one question tonight. Where are you? Somebody said, you fool, I'm sitting right here in this building. Yeah, but where are you really at?
Amen.
You're sitting here all right, but you're in your house. For we know if the house of this earthly tabernacle were dissolved.
Amen.
We're all living in a house. He said that blood shall be a token for you.
Amen.
Upon the house where you are. That blood's on me, son.
Yes.
And he said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you.
Yes.
I'll cover you. I'll cover you. I'll cover you when I see the blood.
Yes.
The reason being that because of none of the plagues of Egypt, he said, it'll be upon you. What was the plagues of Egypt? They died. The firstborn died. Firstborn of man, firstborn of beast, every firstborn died. He said, that plague will not be upon you. What did I tell you? Such splendid love that he had turned us from the power of that sin and death. Death stood still. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Oh my God. When he touched that bar, death stood still. No wonder love is strong as death, because death is standing still and he is standing still right over us where death abides.
Yes.
Son, if you can get a hold of that, that'd make a dead Presbyterian get happy, son.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Passover don't mean he just
right.
Like a jet airplane. That word means he just hovers over.
Yes, amen. Thank God.
And there's old man Death. He's a passing by too. When Death passed through Egypt that night, Death's a passing through. He's a hovering over.
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you, there's our God hovering over us too. Son, I'm going to tell you something, boys.
Amen.
That is the splendor of love.
Amen.
Hovering over this house.
Amen.
That's a personal thing, friend.
Amen.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner,
yes.
Paid all his due. Anchor your soul in the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass, will hover over you.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm glad he's covered me.
Yeah.
And if He's covered me, He's covered all my sin. Hallelujah. I'm tired, and I believe you are too. Some of you are tired before you got here. And I want to say thirdly, His love is splendid, not only because it's conquered our sin and covered our sin, but it's condemned our sin.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all say the old man's done with that? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son. Let me ask you why He sent Him. God so loved the world that He sent. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Amen.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
Son, if you notice that word, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned.
Amen. Amen.
Does anybody want to guess what that word condemned means? It sounds bad. But it ain't that bad. Whosoever believeth on Him is not condemned. But whosoever believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you know what that word there means? It means damned. That word right there, condemned, sin in the flesh. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. If He hadn't condemned sin in the flesh, this body would never make it.
Amen.
He damned sin.
Amen.
He damned sin for you and I.
Yes,
what a God.
Amen.
You realize that sin is under the condemnation of God.
Yes,
son, if we can reach out by faith and get a hold of that tonight.
Yes.
That sin has been condemned, son. It's damned. Sin along with the devil will fry in hell for all eternity. The splendor of His love. Conquered my sin. Then He covered my sin. And if that wasn't enough, then He condemned my sin. Why? Because He loved me. I want to say tonight, I love Him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I want to say tonight that I love Him. Bless His wonderful name.
Amen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Bless His wonderful name.
Yes.
And all that is within me, bless His holy name.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you one question in closing. And don't have a thing to do with this verse, but I'm going to ask some of you something. Who have you been listening to that's robbed you of your smile and your joy?
Amen.
What mentor has been telling you that it's wrong to rejoice in church?
Amen.
Come on in the house, children. It's your pastor. I'm talking to you. 2 years ago, you'd have been walking these walls and tearing the paper down off the walls. And I believe somebody's got some of you convinced that in the house of God that we ought to just be pretty reverenced and pious.
Amen.
We ought not to get too awfully excited about things. I'm going to heaven, friend.
Amen.
Yes!
Yes! Amen.
What do you think the psalmist meant when he said, let all my soul bless the Lord, all that is within me, bless. name. Now, who's been telling you that we oughtn't to do that? Who some of y'all been listening to? I'm going to tell you something, friend. If I ever find out that somebody's spreading stuff, that we oughtn't to worship God in here, we're going to fight. I wouldn't give a flip. Ain't nobody left but me and two people. We're going to fight.
Amen.
I've done been around too long. I know better than that garbage.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, some of you better quit listening to somebody. Amen. Somebody's whispering nothings in some of y'all's ears, buddy. I wouldn't listen to that crowd 5 minutes.
Amen
to God. I'm going to tell you, if we can get a hold of what I preach tonight,
amen,
you can just get a hold of it. How can your sin ever trouble you when it's conquered, covered, and condemned? And that don't mean just what you used to be. I'm talking about what you are right now. I lean upon Him for my righteousness every day. Behold, I die daily. Read your Bible. God help us. Love as strong as death. Jealousy. Cruel. That's a grave. Let's stand together.